What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special, probably part one of at least two episodes.
We on the road.
Yes, we are here at Tacticon 2017, which is also a part of Rocky Mountain Con this year.
It's been an interesting thing. We should have started yesterday, but it's been off to a Rocky Mountain start. I would say, anyway.
Yeah, I would have left the Rocky Mountain or the mountain part out, but.
Oh. Well, just because the Rockies are, you know.
Yeah, everything was supposed to kind of kick off yesterday, but apparently there were some scheduling conflicts with the hotel, but everything's worked out now. Everybody's moving in. We're kind of just doing this little intro bit before everything actually kicks off, so.
Yeah, we've only got to see a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah, and there's not a ton to look at yet, but.
No.
I did notice one thing that we're going to have to check out and talk about is that it looks like there's an interactive Arkham Asylum setup, almost kind of like a haunted house type thing.
Yeah, that looks cool. I want to see what they got going on with that. Maybe we get to tour Arkham or something.
Yeah, it looked like there was a lot of different. I heard they had like a lot of handcuffs for people to wear.
Mm-hmm. Get kidnapped by the Joker or something, maybe. That would be cool.
Yeah, or you're just an inmate getting taken into Arkham, and they'll have people in different cells as they walk you by, maybe.
Right. So that means there should be some really good cosplay going around.
We'll definitely check it out and talk about it here in a bit, or, well, later on, sometime this weekend at one point.
Yes.
But I do also want to mention, we are not the only podcast here. We're also here with our, well, in the room right now, it's just us, but this weekend we will also be sharing the area with our buddies Bitfaced, which anybody that's listened to the show or has followed us at all knows. Then there's also a newer podcast to us. So we just met one of the guys, Caleb, today, which is The Trickster Talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a pretty good dude.
And then there is also going to be Tap In Geek Out, which is our buddy Eric and his friend Doug. And they talk about, obviously, if you can't get it from the name, beer and geek stuff.
So Eric will be pulling some double duty at some point.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine doing two podcasts.
Right.
I'm uncreative enough to barely do one.
Yeah, I really hope this picks up soon. It's just right now, it's just at a little lull, but I think give it some time, and it'll be good.
Wait, con or the podcast?
Yeah, I guess both at this point. Why not?
There we go.
Yeah, it was really low.
Your gain was a little low there.
I was looking at my sound next to yours, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it was definitely lower, but lower. People can hear you now.
But, yeah.
That's what I need to make stickers of, hashtag butum.
Yeah. I see a lot of people playing games. I don't know what games they're playing, so it's like I want to figure out.
I'm not a board game person. I've never really. I don't know why I've never really been able to get into them. I think I'm just intimidated more than anything.
Well, exactly. And I'm waiting to walk around and see somebody playing like Monopoly or Sorry or something like that. You know, those are my ideas of board games.
I don't think we're going to see any of those this weekend.
Right. Somebody's running around just so like, oh, mousetrap.
I wonder if anybody will be running the Ghostbuster game anywhere. Might have to check that out. May actually play it properly for once.
Yeah, I had problems finding the whole thing online anyway. So every time I went to the website, it just always took me to a gun site. So it's like,
I
learned a lot about laser sights.
You mean for Tacticon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they had all the board games that are going to be here listed. I think the main things they had listed were things they're going to have tournaments for video game wise.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely not what I was expecting because I didn't read into, I didn't get a chance to because, again, Google doesn't like this thing. And Facebook doesn't either. I thought there'd be a lot of people selling games and stuff, but no, this is all about tournaments. I saw in the other room they had a bunch of trophies set up. So
nice.
Yeah, it's like these people are here to play.
So real quick, I want to get through the three little news things that I have got before today.
Nice.
I'm sure there's been some more stuff since then that I haven't looked into, but we'll get into that at some point this weekend. Real quick, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is going to have a split-screen arcade mode.
That probably would have worked better when we were trying it on that giant screen yesterday.
Yes, definitely, yeah. We stopped at Best Buy to try and get some equipment for today and tried it on a giant split monitor, which was a pain in the ass because the way it was, I mean, it was split right down the middle, but the gap was so big because of the edges of the screens.
Right, and the weird thing is, I know ridiculous. They have those curved TVs that same size. Yeah. Why didn't they just bring over one of those?
Well, and I'm sure they've got to make monitors to where there's, like, no edge, so it's minimal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't know if I was shooting stormtroopers or what.
But either way, that'll be fun. I always enjoy split screen, so. Then Assassin's Creed Origins is getting a new mode to the series. It's called a tour mode. You turn that on, and there's no fighting, nothing. You literally just get to explore the world and actually learn different facts about the Egyptian, you know, the ancient Egyptian times and stuff.
Maybe that's something like what that virtual cabin 2.0 will be for Friday. So it's just like, again, you're taking that tour and they're just letting you go, and you're going to know where people are going to be. Maybe you can learn information about your targets before you have to go in there and take them out. So maybe it's a secret way to teach like people history.
You mean like before you go into like a single player match against some bots or something like that?
Yeah.
That's what it's sounding like the single player is going to end up being. It's just the game with bots.
Just a sneaky way to teach you things. I think it's going to be a success.
Well, I mean, the game itself is already a success, so we've already been playing. We didn't really get to try any of the smaller levels yesterday when we played. We played, what, one, and I literally was able to escape, what, not even 5 minutes into the match.
Oh, right, and then the rest of the time we were waiting for Jason to
kill everyone else. Yeah. He seemed like he wasn't a very good Jason.
Well, he got everybody else in the end.
But definitely, with how quick we were able to escape, that shows that the minimal maps, everything is closer together, so obviously the gas, the keys, and everything were a lot closer than they usually would be.
Yeah, I think you ended up with the battery right away.
Yeah, right next to it, and hooked it up, put it in. The guy was running back with the keys. He already had the gas in. We took off.
Yeah.
Gotta love it when it works out like that.
Right, yeah, the levels a little smaller, so it's like with Packanack small. You get the Packanack Lodge, and then the few
not much
around
it, yeah.
And then that's it. So it's just like the biggest thing in there is the Packanack Lodge. Mm. And yeah, they were pretty fun to walk around, but I always ended up getting picked off pretty quick.
Yeah, but it's one of those games too where it's still fun to watch after you die or whatever. Mm-hmm. So not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last thing I have is they have released a little bit more information about the Atari box.
Oh, the big thing that everybody's doing now where you can just download games onto these little systems that look like the original systems?
No. The Atari box was the one that we've been talking about where they actually announced they're coming out with a new system.
That's right, an all-new Atari system.
Yeah, so it's going to debut late spring of next year.
Yeah, I haven't heard any titles that were meant for it either.
They still have not yet said any titles other than it's going to come pre-installed with the classic library.
Oh, weird. Do you think that sound made it on there?
I don't know, maybe, but we'll use that in a second. and price point's going to be between $250 and $300.
Damn.
And it's going to be a Linux-based PC, basically. So you're going to
download all the games?
Yeah, and be able to do apps, that kind of crap. But they haven't said any AAA titles or anything that's going to be on it. So as of yet, I don't see why anyone would pay good money for it.
No, I don't either.
Oh, and they're also going to be doing an Indiegogo campaign for it, too.
Just trying to get money raised for it. And
the less they have to put into it.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they'll have people that they can talk to going, hey, you put in so much, and you just get the box.
Yeah.
And we'll send you some games. We don't know what games, but we'll send them to you.
Yeah, I really don't have much confidence in this. I think the units that it sells is going to be based solely off nostalgia.
That's true. Because, again, that's probably going to be the first batch of games that they want is going to be all those remastered Atari games. Minus ET.
Well, and those are going to come installed on it, so.
Oh, okay. So that makes that easy.
Right. So Yeah, that's all I got on that. But since my phone did go off with an ESPN alert.
And mine did, too.
So, me and Sean, as we've mentioned, are in a fantasy league with the guys from Stone Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we are whooping their asses.
3-0, both of us.
We are both undefeated, the only undefeated people left in the league.
Hopefully it goes until we're both still undefeated, and then we got to face each other. And again, then it ends in an absolute tie.
When do we face each other? I need to...
Does it ever actually tell you?
Yes.
Oh.
I will look right now.
I didn't even know. I never actually experimented with the website that much. I just knew.
I play you next week.
Oh, okay, cool. My reign of terror may come to an end. Or will it?
Right. It'd be pretty cool if we both go undefeated into our match.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping. Because, yeah, I got Ryan this week, so.
And currently I'm winning 23-5, so, yeah.
Yep, just because you had a...
Who would have thought the two nerds that know nothing about football or fantasy football?
Right. Now I have to pay attention. Especially when people get injured. Otherwise, I'd still have Olsen in there. He got injured like week one.
I just count on my app to tell me when that shit happens. It's done a pretty good job so far.
None of my players have come up injured, so. And nobody's asked me for trades or anything either. I got to figure out how to get another tight end, though.
I've been asked for two trades, and both trades were bullshit.
Oh. Yeah, no, I definitely need to find a way to get a tight end.
Agreed.
So we can figure that out, but so far it's been okay because, yeah, I don't think Antonio Gates is going to be getting me a whole lot of points.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to move the boom. There we go.
Oh, this is interesting. Ah, too bad.
We are watching Tyler currently perform fellatio on our boom. Hold on, I got to unmute you. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Kind of. Let me turn up the gain a little bit.
Turn me up.
There we go.
All right. Anyone that doesn't know, this is Tyler from Bitfaced.
What up?
Oh, not a whole lot going on here. Do you fantasy football?
I don't fantasy football at all. Well, I never have, but okay. I would totally try it.
Yeah, it's something. It's just fun for some reason. Like the best thing to do is start off with like one that the NFL Network does, where it teaches you different teams.
Yeah.
Every week. That's actually a good way to get good for DraftKings. I've never actually tried DraftKings, but people that went from there have actually won money. So.
Wow.
I just jumped into it last year with my brother, and we're both in a league this year with him, and we're both undefeated somehow.
Holy cow.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
No, I don't know any of the players I picked. I just picked some of them. I'm learning about them because some of them are good and some of them not so much.
Can you trade them off or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but...
But
if they're bad, why do people want to trade for them?
Yeah, we're playing with people that know more than we do, so it's like we try to give them a player, and they're going to be like, I wouldn't wipe my ass with that deal.
That's fair. Maybe, you know, since we're doing a lot of stuff as podcast collabs, next year we run a podcast.
I would totally be down for that.
Yeah.
Because Eric said he used to play, and he hasn't played in a while, so I'm sure he'd be down, too.
Mm-hmm. At least I'd know how I'd end up in that league. When I signed up with this app or whatever, did we go through the ESPN app? It just gave me a team.
Oh, no.
So he's in a random league on top of ours.
2-1. I'm 2-1 over there.
Oh, that's still pretty good, though.
Especially for auto-drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not too bad.
Yeah, and luckily, Mariota is doing pretty good. Mariota. The Tennessee guy. That's what we'll call him.
So you went out and walked around a little bit. Did you see anything exciting out there?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of crazy stuff. If you guys didn't make it over to where like the land center is, that's a pretty neat little setup.
I don't think we did make it over to that part. I didn't see it.
Man. It's kind of, you know, where you said the Arkham Asylum kind of mm-hmm. thing is set up? Right behind that, there's like a land setup. So it's probably, I don't know, 20 tables that'll reach this whole room set up. With, you know,
okay, they were still in the process of setting that up, so we couldn't get back there yet.
Okay, yeah, now it's kind of open. You can walk over and see it. There's not too many people there yet. They did say that doors do officially open at 3,
so we're just 1 minute away.
Oh, 1 minute,
yeah. So hopefully, you know, we'll start getting more people. It is a Friday, of course, so
yeah, people getting off work, all that crap. Yeah.
But over there as well, they have a ton of arcade cabinets just on free-to-play.
Oh, they're on free-to-play. Nice. We did see those over next with Dance Dance Revolution and all that.
I saw them right next to the army, so I was right. They're recruiting now.
Yeah, they're here to recruit. That's kind of weird to me.
They want nerds to fly their drones.
No shit. We keep crashing them into the side of mountains.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's the most reasonable thing I've been able to think of.
Well, what they need to do is get some of those people, because on one of the ESPNs, they've actually, I was at a bar, and they were showing drone races. And these things are super fast. They're flying down at like 50, 60 miles an hour, making these wicked, freaking sharp-ass turns like fucking Tokyo Drift.
I think that's some racing I could actually get into watching.
Yeah, and the guys that control it are wearing a headset.
Oh, using the VR?
Mm-hmm.
And that's drone a sport racing. Now. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I want to build my own. Apparently, they're not terribly costly to build, but I totally want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, with a decent one being, you know, like $600 anyways.
I'm thinking someone was saying that you could build a decent drone yourself for $200 to $300.
God damn it, Sean. Always.
Ric Flair's a drone enthusiast, and he agrees.
He's also a regular on our podcast.
Nice.
Well, he doesn't have his own anymore, so, you know, got to show some love.
Did he ever come out of that coma?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
He's fine. He's been making public appearances and stuff lately, too.
Oh, you look like you didn't know.
No.
Yeah, Ric Flair was in a coma.
Jeez. And he had a surgery, and it put him out for a while.
Oh, man.
But he's wheeling and dealing, jet flying, profiling, styling.
Speaking of people, you know, well, I guess this is opposite of people living, but Hugh Hefner is dead.
Oh, yeah, Hugh Hefner passed away. 91.
That's a pretty good run.
Right?
Especially with the type of lifestyle he had.
I mean, to be fair, he was old enough. It doesn't make me sad, but, like, it is sad news.
But it just makes me wonder what would happen to it, because I know when he was selling the Playboy Mansion, the deal was that he got to still live in his room while everybody else just had the rest of the house.
So Sean has a murder conspiracy.
Yeah, it's like every once in a while they probably had to come down, and he's just in his bathroom all day, and he's like, where are my pancakes? He's like, you just live here. We're not going to make you your food. He's like, but I'm old. And they just had enough, and they said, they killed his ass. They're like, the house is ours.
It's a brutal theory.
Mm-hmm. They gave him some tainted soup or something like that.
Where did you guys get these XLR cables?
I believe I got them on eBay as well. It came in a pack.
You just need a blue one.
We did have a blue one, but it went out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that with like XLRs. We had to beef up and start buying some more expensive ones.
Yeah, I think we're going to be getting to that point pretty soon.
I like them because they match your guys' colors. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I bought them initially. And then, yeah, the blue one went out like a month in.
Yeah. That sucked.
Yeah, because it was mine. It was the one I used.
It was a good one, too.
All right, so I think since everything's officially supposed to be open now, I say we go take a break and check some stuff out.
Hell yeah, I'm down.
All right. All right, guys, we are back here, and we have our first interview of the con.
We have a guest.
Oh, no pressure.
The first?
Yes, our first one of the day.
So please.
You always remember your first. I don't want to be remembered.
So please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. My name is AJ. I am with Pop Cult Pins.
And please explain in a brief, you don't have to be brief at all.
We were walking the con floor, and we couldn't, walk by your little booth without it catching our eye.
The smell and sight of awesomeness is abundant.
Absolutely.
I like to say.
Yeah, because the work on these is amazing.
And I will say I have not seen any other pins like this on a convention floor. They're definitely unique. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go ahead and give us a breakdown of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so what you guys are looking at for those in person, everybody else, you can find the website later.
We'll take pictures and we'll throw them up on Twitter and everything, if you don't mind.
So these are laser-cut, laser-engraved wooden hat pins, lapel pins. I like to wear a couple on my hat, you know. So
yes. Oh, you can't see my bag, but it's completely covered in pins.
Nice, I see all the pin bags, that's awesome.
Yeah, I have another hat. Like you were saying earlier, I got plenty of room on this hat. But
right.
I got other hats where, they're all pins.
Nice.
Yes, pin freaks for sure.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. You're my people.
Yes.
So like you said, there's not much out there like that, at least certainly not on the con circuit. I love the feel of the wood. You know, I love working with it. I like the smell of it. When the pins are fresh, it smells like campfire.
I bet that's fantastic.
It's a pain in the ass, though, to work with.
So these are 100% wood, then?
They are genuine wood, yes.
Okay.
Which makes them a bit of a pain in the ass. I mean, with enamel pins, with, you know, the hard or soft enamels, you do the design, you send it off to the manufacturer. They do all the hard work for you. You know, you just got to then put them together, put them into packaging and stuff and get them sold. And they look fantastic. I've got some on another hat at home. I love all kinds of pins.
Mm-hmm.
But with these wood ones, I had to figure out how to attach the pin backs. And so I tried a couple different things. Some of them didn't work. I ended up settling with E6000 jeweler's epoxy. And that works great, or jeweler's glue. And haven't had any issues.
Keeping those diamonds in and stuff, right?
Yep. So it's great stuff. And I've always been a geek at heart, you know. Mm-hmm. I've always liked geeky stuff. One of my first gaming systems was the Atari, and I was hooked on video games ever since.
So I've always loved Pitman in your life.
Exactly.
Or Pitfall, I'm sorry.
Pitfall, yes. You know, I still remember 83 or 84, sneaking into my parents' closet and finding the Nintendo Entertainment System box before,
nice.
Before it was wrapped and stuff. So I was super excited to get that. And
oh,
so
yeah.
A lot of my stuff is a little retro.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, you know, some NES-style controllers and NES-influenced cartridge, and I'm using air
quotes. I did see the controllers.
I'm using air quotes so to yes. not offend the copyright gods. But I like to say all of my stuff is inspired by pop culture, mm-hmm. hence the name Pop Cult Pins.
Right. Even had bacon.
I do have bacon. I have an actual pin that looks like bacon, then I've got another one that I really am proud of.
Yes.
This is the one we want to hear.
Bacon made out of the periodic table of elements. And I went as far as to make sure that the atomic weights are correct, and I also used maple wood. So it is actually atomically or scientifically accurate maple wood bacon. I'm that much of a geek. I took it to that far.
I like it. They didn't even put that much thought into Breaking Bad when they did their sign like that.
Didn't they? You know, I never actually bothered looking to see if the atomic weights and everything were correct or not. But yeah. So.
Oh. Yeah, you definitely have to be a geek to take it to that level. And it's fantastic that it's to do with bacon as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who doesn't love bacon? Right?
Right.
If they don't like bacon, then you can't trust them.
Absolutely not. They're lizard people.
Yes.
What inspired you to do this?
So, funny story. A couple jobs ago, I was working. I'm a graphic designer by trade. I studied. I went and got my 4-year degree in graphic design. And I got a job doing design at this company where we had gotten a laser cutter and engraver.
Nice.
The boss is like, all right, you knuckleheads, we got this. I forget, like $20,000 machine. He's like, now it's up to you guys to make money with it. And one of the first things that came into my head was pins, you know, wooden hat pins. Because, yeah, you look everywhere and you see enamel, hard enamel, soft enamel, you know. And they're great. They're fantastic. I love the looks of them. But I had never seen wooden hat pins. So I pitched it to him. I was like, hey, what if we did hat pins with them? And he was like, yeah, I don't know. So I'm like, dude, I think it could be big. He's like, if you want to put something together, maybe we could take a look at it. So as time went on, I think that's me dinging. I apologize.
I think that's actually him over there.
God damn it.
Be no, professional so, here.
Right? Sorry. I thought you guys were professionals. Put your pants on.
We just look professional.
So anyways, my boss was like, you know, I don't know. If you want to put something together, maybe I'll look at it. Well, the idea stuck in my head, and this was October or something of 2015, and just on a whim, I decided to buy the domain name popcultpins.com because yes. I had kind of thought about it and stewed on it, and I was like, you know what? I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I want to do stuff that speaks to me. I love coming to conventions, talking to cool people, seeing all the cosplay. So if I could do something where I could make maybe a little bit of money
while doing
stuff that I love, what the hell is wrong with that? Absolutely. Yeah. Sign me up.
How long have you been hitting the conventions?
Since about 2015, 2016-ish. So not that long. I'm still kind of, I don't say in the starting phases because you know, I've been doing it for a couple of years. But what's funny was I bought the domain. And then fast forward to like December, and I got laid off. And so I'm like, well, screw that noise. I talked to my wife because I'm an adult, apparently. I've got a wife and two kids.
Yeah.
And I said to her, you know, can I try putting some legs on this thing, see what I can do with it. And she was like, if we start hurting for money, you got to find a regular job. And I was like, all right, you know, hold my beer.
That's fantastic. So
support, that goes that a is, long yes. way.
Absolutely. So I gave it a shot, and I started doing a few things. But, you know, with two kids, a mortgage, and a dog, pretty soon I had to find a regular 9-to-5. But I never let it go. So I started putting some designs out. The very first design I did was the NES cartridge.
Nice.
The second one I did was the NES controller because, you know, like I said, I started.
Oh, yeah.
I missed the cartridge. I didn't see
it's
that
there.
One.
Come okay. over. Check it out.
For
so,
sure.
But yeah, so I started doing that. One of my first conventions, I wouldn't call it a convention. It was like a arts and crafts fair. It was called Mancraftival here in the Denver area.
Huh.
It's no longer in existence, which kind of sucks. But yeah, they gave me my first shot, and I had a pretty good outing. So I was like, you know what? I can do this. So this is now my side hustle. It's something I do for fun and
nice.
You know, a little extra money, although technically, I think the last couple of years, I haven't really made any money. I've actually lost money doing this, but it's something I love to do.
Yeah, so. Something you get to call your job fun. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And plus, what do they say? Like the first 5 years, you know, a business is going to lose money, or first 3 years or something like that. So I think I'm coming up on year three, so I better get my ass in gear.
Yeah.
I mean, we've invested quite a bit in doing all this just so we can hang out at cons and just talk to people and talk about geeky shit when there aren't cons.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
But, shit, I had a question, but then I completely... Oh, on average, about how long does it take you to do a pen?
It kind of depends. It depends on the design. Some of them are real quick and easy. Other ones are a real pain in the ass.
Trying to get Link's shield going there.
Yep, that legend.
The Triforce.
Or the shape of the skull, I'm sure. Or just shaping it, or...
Shaping it and doing all the pieces. Like, I actually have, if you look on my Instagram, I have that Legend of Zelda... A kind of a step-by-step process where I show how I put all the shapes together. I do it all in Adobe Illustrator on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit of drawing. I'm not that good of an artist, but I can make my way around a pencil, thank God. And I showed, you know, on there, you know, I start with basic shapes, you know, spheres, squares, circles, squares, nice. And triangles and shit like that. And I put it all together. And, you know, fortunately on something like that, it's a mirror image. So I only got to mm-hmm. worry about getting half of it right and then just flip it over, put it together. And then I go as far as making a Photoshop mock-up of what it would look like, you know, if it's carved mm-hmm. out of wood and stuff. So I can kind of get an idea. And then I can also do what I like to call pre-selling. So if I like a design, but I'm not sure if it's going to sell, I'll put them up on my website or up on my Etsy store.
And just gauge interest.
To see if people are interested. And I'll sell them for $10 instead of $15. Because, you know, that'll tell me how many people want it. You'll get the pin before anybody else. You'll get it cheaper than anybody
it's
else.
It's kind of like doing a Kickstarter in
exactly.
a way.
Exactly. So, you know, I gauge interest that way. Now, on some of them, like the Legend of Zelda, I figured people would love that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many hours I blew on the original Legend of Zelda. Wait,
I don't know how long I was lost trying to get through that fucking cemetery.
That fucking map, dude. I never finished the game. I'm not going to lie.
The first one, no. Yeah.
So, but I knew that one was going to be good. So I just went ahead and had those made. Unfortunately, I don't have my own laser yet. So I have to rent time on it. So that's another reason why I don't just make them all on a whim.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, jeez.
I'm hoping to get one soon. I actually, a friend of mine, he kind of backed my company, and he laid down the dough for a Glowforge laser. I don't know if you guys have seen those.
No.
I think I saw something on one of the learning channels about it.
What is it? One of the guys from Mythbusters. He's got a show.
Adam Savage.
Yeah, Adam Savage. He did a whole introductory thing on him, and it looked freaking awesome. And
maybe it was the Science Channel.
Fortunately, you know, my buddy was like, hey, you know, I like what you're doing. I want to support you. And he's like, what would you need to get your own laser? I was like, dude, these things, there's a company here in Golden called Epilogue. I currently rent time on an Epilogue 36XT, I think it is. Shout out to Epilogue. It's an awesome 45 watt or 50 watt laser, but it's huge. It's like the size of this table. It requires a huge ventilation system. So it has a duct that goes off the back to this, like I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a pump that wow. sucks the air out of there. And then you got to get a hose going from that pump out a window suck all the noxious smells and stuff out of the house or out of the studio or wherever you're working. Mm-hmm. And those pumps by themselves are a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, wow.
The laser itself, you know, something big like that is like $12,000 or $13,000.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea lasers stink.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they're expensive. You know, it's not like you can just put it on a freaking shark on, you know, hold a shark and do that shit.
Yeah.
But
it's not like a 3D printer where the prices are just plummeting.
Yeah, it's
on
not
them.
There yet. But these guys at Glowforge, shout out to Glowforge, they wanted to, what did they call it? They wanted to democratize? One of those fancy words. They wanted to make it more accessible to the everyday person. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they came up with a smaller version. It's by the looks of it, I haven't seen it yet because they haven't sent it to me yet. Mm-hmm. But it's about the size of a big desktop printer.
Okay.
All of the hard stuff, all of the stuff that you need, the computer within the printer mechanism, is all handled on the cloud.
Okay.
So
nice.
It's a lot smaller. They also make it so that it can have, you know, a filter built in, so you don't need a huge pump on the side. And it's 45 watts, so it's just a little less powerful than the one I'm using. But right. it's going to be a lot smaller. It's going to be a lot more easy for me to come up with a design and just slap some wood in there.
And just give it a go. Done.
You know, so I'm really excited for that to come out.
Nice.
My buddy backed they did a crowdfunding campaign, and they raised like $30 million in 30 days.
Wow.
It was something ridiculous like that. So there's a lot of people that want one of these. Myself included, and I was telling my buddy, you know, it's either 15 some odd thousand dollars for one of these big ones from the big boys, or we could crowdfund this one for $4,000, because at the time it was like half off. It's normally like $8,000.
And not have to have a special space to run it and
exactly.
all that stuff.
You know, now he was cool and he was like, do you want the big one? Because they have like a pro version or a regular version. And I was like, I want the pro. You know, give me the big
always.
Boy. And so there's supposedly some... What is it? What's that safety organization? OSHA or something?
Mm-hmm.
There's
possibly.
Technically, I'm supposed to have like special glasses that people need to wear when they're around it. Mm-hmm. I need to have it at a certain height so that it is either above or below
eye level.
There's supposed to be a special shut off power switch for it and stuff like that. So there's some things that I need to do to prepare.
Right.
To get
air quotes again.
But yeah, once that's done, plus I get to put a cool thing on the door that says, you know, laser in use.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Who doesn't
like
want to be in a room that
right.
has
so
that
I
on
be
it.
In that room.
I just got to keep my kids out of there. I don't want to call freaking blind on me. But yeah, so I'd never seen anybody doing them, and my boss laid me off, and I wanted to do it, and so now here I am at cons talking to people, talking to guys like you, talking to all the geeks and, you know, like-minded individuals that we have out here, and, you know, getting to connect with people, talking about their fandoms and stuff, and I love it.
Yeah. So, now, is there any design that you wanted to try or attempted that was just an epic fail?
Yes. Yeah. So one thing about most all of my designs is I'd like to do them myself by hand or on the computer or whatever. I'm not going to lie. Some of them, I have, as a graphic designer, I have bought stock vectors to use for my freelance work and stuff.
Yeah.
And like that Sugar Skull is one of them that I bought. You know, and Sugar Skulls are awesome, but I'm not going to sit there and take the time to do it.
Yeah.
Especially when I had one that looked as cool as that I could.
You should do one that looks like Rey Mysterio, though.
Which
saying.
One? Oh, yeah. Rey Mysterio, that'd be awesome. But I'm a huge, and my fandoms, I like to say, are pretty wide, but not very deep.
So you can do some wrestling ones.
That's how I am. I like a lot of things, but I don't dive as deep into them as some people like
right.
to.
So not that long ago, a friend of mine turned me on to Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. I just recently binged the whole series within the last like year.
Right. So did I. So I really got into the show, and I'll never forget it. There was an episode where everybody was getting like superpowers or something like that. But there was this kid who was being bullied, and he turned around and got superpowers from some wish or something. I don't remember exactly, but he flipped everything on its head and he beat the crap out of his bullies. And he got on this huge power trip, and I want to say he scared Sam and Dean. And there was a scene where he is like yelling into the sky, and he's got his arms up, and he's like, "Kneel before Todd." I was like, "That is an awesome one-liner. It's
That's
a great
fantastic.
Play on the Kneel before Zod line." I was like, "I got to do that as a pin." So I drew out the star that they use for their mm-hmm. anti-demon tattoos yeah. and stuff. And then I put Neil before Todd into the middle of it. And on the computer, it looked awesome. I did a Photoshop mock-up, and it looked pretty good. I was like, all right, I'm going to take this to Wood. Put it out there. You can't fucking read it.
Aww.
I'm like, God damn it. So I got to go back and retool it. I've got... I've got at least one of those pins sitting on my booth. I think I've sold one or two.
Nice.
So thank you to the two right. people, as much as I don't like it. But I think I will end up trying to retool it. It just didn't come out quite as good as I thought. Mm-hmm.
Nice. And I have a little suggestion real quick while we're on the ways of things that could be interesting. Like you said, Neil before Todd, ever since I saw this movie, The Stupids.
Have not seen it.
It was based off of a series of children's books from back in the early 90s. It had Tom Arnold and stuff in there. There's one part where they go to a... they're stuck in a museum, and again, they're stupid, so they think they're in a time machine. And when they get out of the elevator, all of a sudden they're in another time period. And at one point, they get out in the planetarium, and they think they're dead. And they run into a guy, and they're like, oh my God, it's the Lord. And he's like, actually, it's pronounced Lloyd.
Nice.
And so there's like one scene at the end, because for some reason they end up fighting the army, and there's a scene at the end where they're like, in the name of the Lloyd.
So nice. It's like, that's not a bad one-liner.
Yeah, he has this weird straw hat, and so I just always thought that with the in the name of the Lloyd as a nice. Pen or something, you know.
Nice.
So while we're on the subject of that real quick, how often do people pitch you different pens?
All the time. And I appreciate it because, you know, I'm always looking for good ideas and stuff. I actually have a little Zelda notebook that I do doodles in and write down ideas for.
Nice.
And it just keeps filling up. I just don't have enough time to sit and do the designs. I've got World of Warcraft to play. You know, two kids to watch over and a family to feed. So
and every day a new fandom's born.
Absolutely.
So.
Have you tried any of the Pokemon Go clans?
I do. You know what? I play Pokemon Go. So I actually have...
I tried my very first raid out front earlier when we got here.
Nice. And now they've got freaking Mewtwo invites going out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn it, I don't play enough.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not level enough for it. But yeah. So like I said, my fandoms are wide but not overly deep. I've got all the teams for Pokemon Go. I've got the Pokemon Go Plus, the Bluetooth thing you wear.
Yeah.
I don't have one because, you know, I've got...
Right. I think I
but
saw
I made little wood markers, you know, mm-hmm. of it. So, and I've got, you know, of course, the Pokeball and stuff. I've thought about doing some pins that are like, you know, who's that Pokemon? And then just the outline of like...
That would be pretty cool.
That's a good way to avoid licensing issues.
Yeah. It's fan art.
Yes.
It is fan art.
Exactly.
So... But yeah,
that's a really good idea. I like that.
Yeah, because you're not really using the image, though. So.
But if I
well, and it makes
Pokemon,
it easier
yeah,
to
the word. Pokemon.
That's where you know it gets dicey. As a graphic designer, I've familiarized myself pretty well with you know licensing and you know, copyright issues.
Well,
and stuff
with
like
this
that.
Sue happy day and age, you kind of have to when it comes to that
pretty
stuff.
Pretty much. I've skirted the I've skirted that gray line quite often. Fortunately, I don't make. Thousands of them at a time. I make mm-hmm. five, so I'm small enough that I don't think anybody would be worried about it. You know.
Yeah, it's not like you're mass producing them and
exactly because
selling them all over the place. Yeah.
So here's a question: in your short time of doing, I mean, it's been 2 years on the con circuit. Not trying to. You don't have to name a con. I just want to know what was your worst con experience. I mean, it doesn't have to be because sales were low, it was just because the way the whole thing was ran as a whole, maybe. I don't know.
So, or just anything that made the con experience in general.
Right. It could even just be one fan comment, you know? You never know.
The fans have been pretty good.
Okay.
But there was one con experience a couple years back. It was a Japanese anime-themed convention. I'm not going to name the name, but if you look through my feed, I've done one, and it was a shit show. There was little to no advertising, as far as I could tell. There was nobody showing up. I got in early. I was all excited because it was my first anime con, and
anime has a big following. You would expect there to be advertisements.
Yeah, and. I come to find out, you know, after a while that the company that was organizing it had already, I don't know if they were sued over name usage or something, but they had gotten, somebody had basically slapped them on the wrist and said, you can't use our name anymore. And I was like, oh, well, this is going to be great. So I showed up. I set up. It was here in Denver, so I didn't have to buy, get a hotel room or anything. And just crickets. I barely covered my booth fee. Ugh. And I even got my booth at like half off because I signed up so early.
Wow.
Come to find out the guy next to me paid like three times as much as I did for the exact same booth. And he was doing these beautiful leather pieces that were all geeked out. Like he was doing, he had this really awesome TARDIS pouch for your hip that was made out of leather. It was beautifully crafted. Uh-huh. I mean, this guy was top notch. And he got screwed on his booth. And he had shit for sales. So it was just such a poorly run con. My understanding is that that company, they got their asses reared for that as well. So they're not doing that con anymore either. But it kind of, it's jaded me towards anime conventions. I know NDK is huge here in Denver. I have never done it.
I've never gone. I've always heard good things. But anime's just not my area.
See, and I like it, you know.
Which is weird because of all the anime costumes you see at DCC and stuff. Again, there was that one year, I didn't know what Attack on Titan was. I just thought they were weird pilots from Star Wars. And they're like, no, we fight naked giants. I'm like, oh, still, that's Star Wars.
More like skinless giants. Those things are creepy as fuck.
Right.
But the movie, the live action movie that they are putting out.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Looks amazing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to check that out.
I mean, I do have some anime fandoms. Like, my big one has got to be Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have seen that or not.
I saw recently a trailer that for a live-action version.
The live-action looks phenomenal. I cannot wait. I hope they dub it because I don't like to read.
Right.
But, yeah.
It's turned me off to so many movies. I end up reading the movie going, oh, I forgot to watch it.
Exactly. You have to go back through and watch it again. So, but, yeah, it's... It's a great show. I love it. It's I don't want to say it's like gory or anything, but it's illustrated. It's drawn in a style that's really approachable. It's not overly anime, but there is some real nice blood and guts action going on. It's a story about these two brothers whose mother died, and they use what we would call magic. They call it alchemy to try and bring her back to life. But it's a form of alchemy that's forbidden. It's a form of magic that has dire consequences.
Okay.
The really cool thing about it is they have a whole rule to their universe where you cannot make something from nothing. So if you're going to make something of equivalent size and mass or worth has to be given up. And in trying to bring their mother back, one of the younger brother ends up losing his entire body. The older brother loses an arm and I want to say a leg. It's been a little while since I've seen
him. Yeah, he loses his entire body and becomes a giant robot.
And so what his brother does before his soul disappears, he uses alchemy to encase him into a giant suit of armor. And so the little brother is now this huge, hulking suit of armor going around. He can't die. You can take his head off, and there's nothing in there. It freaks people out all the time.
That sounds really cool.
And they do it with these really cool designs that they, what do they call it? Hell, I don't know. But it's like a circle that you can like draw on the ground or draw on your hand. Mm-hmm. You can get it tattooed on you so you always have the power to use it and stuff. It's really, it's a well thought out and amazing show.
Might actually
show.
Have to check that
it's
out.
It's an awesome manga from what I've seen. I've never actually read any of them, but I've seen them and they just look phenomenal. Hmm. And some people out there do some amazing cosplay. I met a girl who did a... Edward cosplay, and it was spot on. She made her own. So when he lost his arm, he gets a metallic arm that's called automail, and she did this automail
like
arm by herself. If you can imagine like a T-1000 arm, that's basically what the guy has. And she just did this awesome job. And I've seen her at so many cons and I've developed a friendship with her. I talk to her online all the time. So it's just an awesome show with really good... I don't say poems, but it's got a great story.
I have to check that one out. Yeah. And I think that's always been my biggest problem with anime is when you just kind of take a glance at it from like a trailer or something like that, they can seem so overwhelming that you're like, I don't know. But when you have someone actually break it down to you and explain it to you like you just did, I think that usually helps me get into things. Because the last one I got into was Sword Art Online.
That was
and
awesome.
I got into that by someone just like that, breaking it down to me about what it was.
And season two, well, I was kind of disappointed with a little bit.
I haven't gotten to season two yet, but okay. I watched the shit out of season one.
And then let me know if you're disappointed a little bit. but yeah, Sword Art Online was awesome. So I hate to say it, but I'm kind of limited to whatever Netflix has, just because
that's where I'm
already
I'm
paying
at right
for
now.
It, and I don't want to pay somebody else for something else. So
mm-hmm. Speaking of that, then what did you think of their Death Note?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
I just finished the first season of The Defenders. So
I haven't gotten to that yet because I still haven't gotten through Luke Cage or Iron Fist
yet.
I don't
know if I want to watch Iron Fist.
Iron Fist, I keep watching the first episode, and I'm just like, God damn it, I can't go. I don't want to go any further.
You know, it took me about 3 or 4 episodes to get into Iron Fist, but I gave it that much, okay. And then I was hooked. And then I got to tell you, the end of the first season was kind of, you're building up, and then brrr.
Ah.
So it didn't end the greatest, mm-hmm. but Defenders kind of picked up where it left off.
Well, and
so
hopefully with
better.
Them nice. Getting a new showrunner and stuff for season two, that'll help it pick up.
Yeah.
Right. So. And it's funny too because it's like the way that Netflix is doing it, they've already filmed Jessica Jones season 2, Daredevil season 2,
3.
Punisher's Daredevil season 3, sorry. Punisher's will be coming out soon.
Yes.
That looks fantastic.
Yeah. I'm most excited for Punisher and Daredevil season 3.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care what anybody says. What the
have to watch Defenders to see where it goes though, yes. Since Daredevil's there.
Yes. The and a little bit of a spoiler alert: the last episode of The Defenders, the very last scene is Daredevil, and it's
nice.
A huge cliffhanger.
Nice.
So
I love spoilers. I'm usually the spoiler.
Yeah.
Part, so.
What was I going to say? Crap! I forgot.
I do that a lot too.
Yeah, we do that quite a bit.
So,
but all right. So we've already discussed the worst con experience. This one you can mention by name. What is your favorite con that you've been to ever? Even if it's a specific year, it doesn't matter.
I love Rocky Mountain Con. Love these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tim's awesome. The fact that
I've always had fun here.
They've been doing this for years to raise money for the victims' families of the movie theater attack. Yeah,
for Aurora Rise, to be more specific.
I fully support that.
Absolutely.
But I got to tell you, man, my favorite has got to be Fort Collins Comic Con.
Really?
It's a small show, so it's not like it's huge moneymaker.
We actually attended the very first one as the Fort Collins Ghostbusters.
Did I get to go to that one, or was I not there for that one?
I'm not sure if you were there, but
yeah, I don't remember if I got to go
either way.
Collins.
Yeah, because we helped found the Fort Collins Ghostbusters group.
That's
and
awesome.
Used to be part of that.
Wait, was that cool. The one inside the library? No, that was
it's
the one
off I-25. It's in the gymnasium.
Yeah, it was in a small little gym.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So what I like about them is that it's very well produced. They run it really well. My favorite thing, since I'm a one-man show for the most part, I try and get my friends to come to cons with me so that I can go take a shit, go grab a bite to eat,
leave the table and not have to shut it down.
Otherwise, yeah, right now there's a tarp over my booth. But those guys have booth sitters, you know, so if you need to go get something to eat, you need to use the bathroom, you need to get some water, they'll get you the water. They won't take a shit for you, but they'll sit in your booth so that you can go drop a deuce, you know, and then come back.
Stall the customer long enough for you to get back.
Exactly.
I think they're $15, but but don't quote me on that. You see, some of them have a price tag. Some of them don't.
I feel bad for them.
I can't touch your money yet.
Right, exactly. I feel bad for them, though, because my friends will tell you, I take my time in the restroom. Emphasis on rest.
That's where I used to play most of my original Pokemon. So.
That's when I get some
you get
good
lost.
Reading in.
Right.
So,
but then you got to wait for your legs to get the feeling back in.
Exactly. You've been there before.
Yeah.
But the fact that they take care of their people like that is fantastic. You know, and they're raising money for the libraries to
very nice
up readership and literacy and that kind of stuff. So I fully support that.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's usually my best con in as far as like ratio of cost of table versus profit. You know.
Nice.
So I love those guys. You know, I just wish, and I talked to one of the coordinators about it already today. I just wish they would schedule it better. Because the last couple of years, it has been the exact same weekend as Colorado Springs Comic Con.
And that's a pretty big event, yeah.
But so the very first year of Fort Collins Comic Con, I reached out to them, to the organizers, and I was like, hey, I do these wooden pins. Would you guys be interested in having an official pin for the convention? And they're like, absolutely. I was like, great. What's your budget? And they're like, oh, it's not much. And I was like, well, I can work with not much. How much? What's your budget? The guy's like, zero. I'm like, all right, tell you what. Let me do this. Give me your logo. Give me your permission to make the, quote, official pin convention pins. And what I'll do is I'll sell them. And at the end of the day, if I'm in the black, if I make a profit, I'll donate a portion of the sales of those pins to the library district. And the guy was like, done.
Nice. So
I've been making the pins for the convention since year one.
That's fantastic.
I love doing that for him. Was it the second or third year I didn't make enough to donate? This year I did. I just have not had a chance to write them a check or, you know, pay them online. Right. So I just need to do that. But they're fantastic up there. They're really accommodating. Mm-hmm. And it's not an overly huge con. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Denver Comic Con. I don't know if you guys were at it this year.
Oh, but we were there day one.
Oh, my God. I went to, like, the middle of the vendor area and just took my phone and spun around because you really couldn't move. I wanted to show people the sea of humanity that was there.
And the way they had it set up was just so confusing. You turn around once and you're like, wait, which way did I just fucking
come from?
I'm
near the t-shirt tower.
Exactly.
Which one?
Yeah. There's three of them, and each one has four sides. You're going to have to, you know, play some battleship to tell me where you are.
Describe the booth next to you. There's a box with some question marks, and that we don't know what's inside those boxes. That's every other booth.
That's every other booth, yeah. So, and you know, I went to Starfest this year.
We were there too.
That was one of the first ones. I didn't actually.
That was our very first con that
we only got
podcasted
at. Yeah.
That was the very first convention I ever went to, you know, so it's always held a soft spot in my heart. And I've tried to get in there, but they're charging, Denver Comic-Con prices.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, can't
that was a little surprising.
I can't do it. I'm just one guy.
Yeah.
I don't. This isn't my living. I, you know, as much as I would love it to be.
We were just part of a photo shoot.
Exactly. So,
yeah, the pricing of everything was a little surprising.
Yeah, it is.
That's the biggest problem with the thing we love becoming so popular.
Yes.
The price goes up on everything.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, then you start getting these new cons popping up, and because they know how popular the scene is, they're starting to charge
and take advantage
huge
of
amounts,
that.
Right?
But,
that's why I'm surprised there's not more horror conventions, because I think they could do some stuff out here. Because again, I want a horror convention where I go and pick up everything Leatherface and Chucky
one,
and Jason
think.
That I want.
Horror Fest, I think it's called, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we went, well, yeah.
Yeah,
did you go to
that
it?
One was tiny. Was, there wasn't
well,
much
yeah.
going on.
Yeah, we
and
did
there
that
wasn't
one
much
as
in the merchandise
well.
that I wanted.
Right. I haven't. Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen one that's got, you know, a vendor room.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I wanted
like
a Japanese
it's usually just
poster
all
from,
one big
yeah, thing. If I wanted a Japanese poster from every horror movie I ever liked, then yeah, I was in the right room. But that's not what I wanted.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And, you know, it's on my list to do. I want to do some horror style pins for October. You know,
Ghostface or something for Scream and stuff.
Ghostface. I want to do Jason's Mask. Mm-hmm. You know,
you could do.
I would buy
could,
the shit out of a Michael Myers.
Masks.
Just saying.
Yep. Yeah, and you can do the different Jason masks.
Yeah.
You can do an Uber Jason. You know, Jason 8, Jason 7.
One of my favorite pins I have on my bag is a Michael Myers, and he's wearing the Wayne's World hat.
Nice. Nice. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many things out there. I want to do like some zombie stuff because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. The TV show, not the book. I have not read the book yet. I've got some friends who keep telling me they'll loan them to me, but I'm like, give me the goddamn books.
Yeah, the only thing I was bummed out about the books, again, because I like the books, but there's no Daryl.
Yeah.
There's no Daryl. And I need Daryl.
Yeah, my wife's the same way. She's like, if they fucking kill him off, I'm done with this show. Because, oh my, spoiler alert. Holy shit, Glenn's death scene?
Yeah,
was not
intense.
Expecting that.
No. That's why it's like what I think would be cool is like get a big pen set up. Like, because I had this one, it was Cheech and Chong, and so it's you got the two needles in there, so they got to pin them both. But do like a Mount Rushmore of Walking Dead characters. And you can have a special edition where Glenn has his brains bashed in. And
the eyeballs are dangling there.
Yeah, or if the Mount Rushmore is people that are all dead too, do alternate versions living and dead.
Oh, I like that. Carl with the with an eye, Carl without an eye. And so, some chocolate pudding.
That's one thing I like about this show. My wife hates it because nobody's safe. I love that about that. Anybody could die.
Yeah. And they're not really following the comic book anymore.
Don't say that because I'm still waiting for Rick to lose his hand.
Yeah, they might do that because, again, the comic, they said that the comic is going to be coming to an end soon. So
that's what I heard. So,
I mean,
but yeah, I want to do some Walking Dead pins. You know?
Yeah.
So.
And then there's a whole nother con you can try and get into.
Yeah, Walker Stalker Con.
I was bummed out they weren't coming to Denver this year. I'm guessing that it obviously didn't do too well last year.
That's what I heard.
Well, what the problem was they decided to pick a venue like the Denver Coliseum, which was probably
that's way too big.
Big
for that.
Yeah.
And they were going to be like a hotel setting.
Yeah.
Well, I think they probably could have done better at the convention center. I think that was...
Yeah, that's still even a little bit... Maybe the Merchandise Mart.
Merchandise Mart. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's what I was thinking
That's
of.
A place I'm surprised they don't have more cons at.
That's what I was thinking of, the Merchandise
Mart.
Well,
I think it's just overrun with all of the pot shows now.
And that and you know? The mineral show.
Yeah,
Tanner Gunn shows that show up
the Tanner Gunn
shows
there every other weekend. So that's one of those things, if you're not from Denver, you won't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, that happens a lot. We talk about specific locations like this restaurant over here. Oh, wait, shit. All right, never mind.
Damn, but I'm not going to lie. I still want to go to one of these Tanner Gunn shows one day. I've never gone. And I'm hoping I get to go to the one where somebody accidentally shoots themselves because those are the best.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because again, you're in a thing with guns and all of a sudden one goes off and everybody freaks out. You're surrounded by guns.
The problem
with
that, as soon as it happens, half of the freaking place is going to reach to their pocket and grab a gun.
Yeah.
And then the other half is going to reach for the table
and
grab a gun. So.
But they're gunning the table.
It's going to be the largest Mexican standoff ever.
Exactly.
Who's got their concealed carry permit? Oh, a lot of you. Oh, my God, that baby? That baby has a gun. That's so cute.
All right, well, I feel like we have taken up quite a bit of your time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, I appreciate it, guys.
Go ahead and give out your website, Instagram, all that stuff. Yeah,
sure. So you guys can find me online. I'm all over the interwebs. Go to popcultpins.com. That is the main website. But I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's facebook.com/popcultpins, twitter.com/popcultpins, and instagram.com/, you guessed it,
popcultpins.
It's good when you can keep it the same.
Yes.
You know, I've been doing marketing for so many years. That was one of the first things I wanted to make sure.
Consistency is key.
So... And just in case, I did buy pop culture pins because, you know, there's always going to be somebody who spells it all out. So
the redirect helps.
Absolutely.
That's when you make them bigger pins because then you can fit more of the word on it.
Exactly. So.
All right. Well, awesome, man. I appreciate it. That was a great interview.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Nerd Offensive, part two of our awesome Tacticon/RMC coverage. And we're here with our second interview of the con. I have two of the creators of Hey There Fatty, a new card game that we got introduced to yesterday, and I definitely think I'm going to be a fan of it.
Yeah, and received a very offensive fortune cookie.
Yes, I got one of the fortune cookies, and I absolutely was not disappointed at all.
Good.
What brought this game about?
I'm sorry. Let you guys introduce yourselves first.
Jump the gun here.
I am Corey Rowe, but I am the chocolate half of Chocolate Crackers LLC, which is our company, and Hey There Fatty is the game that we are producing.
And my name is Anthony Brown, and I am the crackers half, for obvious reasons.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I will say, once you both came in this morning, I was like, okay, the game makes a lot more sense now. So, if you guys want to give us kind of a quick breakdown of what it is.
Kind of basically what happened was we moved to Colorado in 2008 from Minnesota, and he's from Iowa. But we would always have people over at our house, our apartment, before we had a house. And probably 2-3 times a week, people would be over playing games. We'd be playing whatever the flavor of the week was. We'd go to Target. We would buy a game just because we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing anything about it, just because we knew people would be coming over to play.
Now, does that include like all board games or just?
Oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Board games, card games, video games, just whatever we happen to want to be doing, whatever everybody decided
right.
on.
Nice.
And one day, my wife has endometriosis, so she has a lot of pain. So she uses CBD oil and stuff for the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out of the room just kind of in a lucid state one night and was like, "Why don't we just make a game? We play so many games, and we have people over all the time playing games, so we need to make a game." And we were sitting in the living room together with our other buddy, and we kind of just looked at each other, and we're like, yeah, that I got no rebuttal, and I can't think of a reason why not to.
Right.
Nice.
And she came out, and she straight up said the name. She was like, "We need to make a card game called Hey, They're Fatty, and it's about eating food." And for the next month to 2 months, we just kind of ran with it and created the foundation of it, and it's gone through like five or six different variations since then.
Very nice.
We're finally at a point where we're good to rock and roll. So,
oh, that's cool. How long have you guys been promoting it on the con circuit for?
This is our very first con.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I was actually just going to say, I noticed that on when I started following you guys on Twitter last night.
Yep, okay. Yep, this is our very first con, and so I like to say we're popping our con cherry, and as soon as we get more experience, we're going to have cherry pie in our games.
Nice.
So, yeah. Good.
So how are you guys liking it so far?
So far, it's awesome. I mean, it's kind of hard to pass the table. We've kind of find out because hey, they're fatty with a big banner. And so it's kind of nice because in no way did we mean it as like a jab.
Yeah.
It's just a quirky name.
Wait, and you guys got two tables.
Yep, we did.
Yeah. At this event.
We got a vendor table in the on the dealer room side. And
yeah, and it was
the developer's table down here to play the game.
And it was definitely the banner that we noticed in the main con room that caught our eye. No one was at the table, but we saw the banner. We're like, what the fuck is that about?
I kind of saw a bowl of candy first and then read the sign.
Yeah, of course. He's like, right. Son of a bitch.
We didn't have anybody in there. We didn't know people were filing in there, so we were kind of down here. We were waiting for our table on the developer side, so we didn't know that people were in there. So thanks for seeing the candy, though.
Yeah, no, we took a sneak peek before they actually opened the door. So
nice.
But yeah, so
how exactly do you play the game?
So the game is, so we have a way to figure out who goes first. Whichever one of our fat asses ate a candy bar last goes first.
Nice.
And so the way it works is you have two draw piles. You have a regular draw pile and a junk food pile. And then you get your hand and whatnot. And you're probably better explain it than I am.
So you draw six cards on your opening hand. The setup is very basic. You have an imaginary plate in front of you, and each player has two discard piles. You have a consumed calories pile where you put food you've eaten, and you have a burn calories pile where you put your workout cards and any cards that subtract calories. And so you're constantly keeping track of your current total calorie count throughout the whole game. One pile minus the other is where you're currently sitting at. Mm-hmm. So on your turn, you draw a card. If it's a food item, you have to put it on your plate. You don't have a choice. And then you get to play a card from your hand, and play continues around the table like that until somebody draws an eat card. When an eat card is drawn, play temporarily pauses. Everybody who has a fork eats their food. If you do not have a fork card, you do not get to eat. Your food spoils and you have to discard it.
Okay. So if you get to eat it, you get to keep those cards then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then those cards go from your plate into your consumed calories discard pile.
And are you trying to have more cards in the burned calorie pile, or are you trying to get what is the how
depends.
Do you win?
So the overall point is to be the closest to 2,000 calories at the end of the game.
Okay.
We kind of figured all of our food and grocery stores in this country are based on a 2,000 calorie diet.
Mm-hmm.
So we chose that number for that reason.
Makes sense.
So you as a group decide how many eat cards you're going to play for, so be it two all the way up through, there's 14 in the game.
Oh, geez.
So if you want to play for a long time, you can. You have that opportunity. A game could last anywhere from 5 minutes to 3 hours, depending on how the cards get shuffled. We've pretty much tested the game the most at seven eat cards, and the game lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. So
nice.
It's actually
that's
not
a good
that
average
bad.
Yeah. Average play length, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I remember 3 hours into Monopoly, it's like suddenly the board just mysteriously gets flipped over.
Every time.
You're finding Monopoly pieces
crying.
A week later.
I guess we're done.
Economical collapse.
So, yeah, and then really, the point is to be the closest to 2,000 again, like I said. And if at any point you go over 4,000 calories, you go into a food coma and you are out of the game.
Oh, wow.
And everybody at the table gets to yell, "Hey, they're fatty," at you, hence the name of the game. And they get to ridicule you to no end, however your friends feel, whatever they want to say.
Right. Nice.
So it's highly like encouraged.
You have to make an epic mealtime expansion pack where they have like the calories are up in like the hundreds of thousands. Right? It's like, oh, you made a super Trudunkin. Now it's wrapped in pig. Just everything is in it.
Right. Yeah, so, and then you were telling us a little bit yesterday about how when other people play cards, you can add things to those to make them more fattening and things like that. Like
yeah. Deep frying them. And all of a sudden, boom, baked potato.
Yep, you can bake it. You can deep fry it. You can add bacon to it. You can add a laxative to it. And so if you end up eating it, you end up pooping yourself.
Does that go under burned calories?
No. So that actually, the laxative card would actually get discarded. So basically, if you have a fork and you have a food item that has a laxative in it, you eat it when an eat card is played, but then you have to roll a dice and discard that many eaten foods. So
you could
only have one food on your plate with a laxative,
and it completely
eat it and roll a six and lose. You'd have a net loss of 5 food items from your consumed calories pile. So
because it cleans you out.
Yep. Basically, yeah. And there's a stomach pump card in the game too that pretty much removes your entire stomach contents and resets you back to zero. So
it's arguably less about food and more about poop.
Right? I had my stomach pumped one time as a child because of laxatives.
Oh, wow.
So there's a little bit of truth in it.
This
all right.
Ain't your game.
That's why you shouldn't make things out of chocolate when you're around 2-year-olds.
All right.
So tell us a little bit about the unique packaging and stuff you have going on with this.
So the packaging, we actually went with a bit of a... We tried to do something different. We didn't want to be just another rectangular square box on a table. So being as it is food, we are going with a custom-made Chinese food takeout box. Unfortunately, the box we have here today is not the one that we will have due to shipping issues. But what's going to come included with the box is the horrific fortune cookies you guys witnessed yesterday. So when you open the game, there will be a very real, very edible fortune cookie. And you get the cards and the dice. So the box itself... What we wanted to have a phone number on the box, as you find in most Chinese food takeout boxes. But this will actually be a very working phone number. It's going to bank to a voicemail. And what we're going to do is just have nightmarishly horrific recipes every month loaded onto the voicemail. So if you want to call it, you can leave questions or comments, but you will get no answers.
Right.
And so
I like that. I think Mug Root Beer used to do the same thing.
So
leave a message.
Can you give us us a sneak peek of one of these horrible recipes that we might get?
So we've had a couple different things like hot dog tea, other things, and so far we've gone pretty hot dog theme. The other one's like the roasted hot dog Lincoln Long Cabin,
which doesn't have any hot dogs in it. It's just bacon and nacho cheese.
Hot dog tea. I bet they can get an endorsement from Fred Durst.
Right.
It's the hot dog flavored water.
Right. The Limp Bizkit meals.
I think we just stumbled across a whole nother expansion.
Right, yeah, the Limp Bizkit meals.
Yeah. The corn pack.
Right.
Funny, I got the life.
It's funny you mentioned corn. There's a whole backstory that's behind the game that isn't actually public knowledge yet, but since you guys were generous enough to have us on your show, we can give you a little sneak peek
awesome.
Of that. So there's this whole backstory about the corn people and the butter folk, and the butter folk were persecuted by the corn people. And there was this massive battle that took place in, like, the year 1200 between the butterfolk and the corn people. And there was a general on the side of the butterfolk, and his name is, General Butterkoss, which is butter cheese in German.
Yeah.
And there are actually going to be items in the game that you can recreate his armor set. But the thing is we're only going to release one piece of armor every few expansions. There's one in the base game. But the thing is they're completely unassuming. Nobody really knows
that it's armor.
What it is.
Yeah.
But then when we finally release the last expansion that has the last piece of his gear, there will be a special insert for rules that says if you can complete the entire set of his vestments, if you will, you turn into Lord Buttercost and you get your own stack of butter cards that you can give to players in the game.
Fantastic.
At will. And we're pretty sure there's like a 99.99% chance that that will never happen.
No, we'll never do it.
But it's in the game.
Yeah.
In butter.
And if you can pull it off, let us know.
Because right.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Yeah.
A lot.
In butter is by far the most brutal card in the game. I mean, it will offset.
Well, look at
anybody.
It's sweating.
Yeah,
butter's sweating.
Yeah, the fantastic shirts they
Such
have.
Such a happy, fat, sweaty butter. Right, and these shirts will also soon be available as well.
Awesome. I was just about to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so the very first item of his armor that is in the game right now is the Staff of Churning. And so you get his powerful staff.
And the thing is it only really has any effect if it's in your opening hand. Mm-hmm. If it's in your opening hand, you never have to eat any kind of butter ever.
Nice.
So you can turn it away.
Yeah, yes. Because you essentially are butter, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
You will over it.
But if it's not in your opening hand, it's just a butter churn. You can play it if you want. It does nothing. Huh. It has no cosmetic effects whatsoever, except that it's a butter churn.
Right. Amish for the nice.
Day. Right, yeah, good for you, yes.
So, yeah.
I like that.
And then there's a breastplate, a helmet, some boots, and some gloves.
So if his staff is a butter churn, I can only imagine that everything else is also like butter-type stuff related or
yep.
something like that. Like his chest plate's probably just a couple pads.
Yeah, yep. Butter is the power, the ultimate power.
And we're trying to make that kind of like our Hello Kitty, if you will.
It's our mascot.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to shove butter down people's throat. So.
Right? I mean, just look at how they pop out this Five Nights at Freddy's stuff. You can have, like, Butter Man or something, whatever you want to call him. Again, you called him the butter... The German
Buttercost.
For butter cheese.
Buttercost.
Well, Buttercost, I guess, if you have the umlaut on it.
Yeah, Choker of Hearts. Yeah.
Like Clogger of Arteries.
Yes. Yeah. We have something written down. It's literally like a 10-word moniker for what this title is.
Nice.
I know it ends in the Grand Emulsifier Destroyer of Hearts, but we haven't really delved really far into that part of our backstory.
Yeah. Butter's like, I've killed more than leprosy. What are you doing?
So yeah, that's something that's coming down the pipeline.
So when can we look forward to being able to get our hands on it, help out with it, any of that kind of stuff?
So you mind if I take this one? All right. So the thing is we're hoping to have our Kickstarter get launched here within the next 2 weeks.
Awesome.
We definitely wanted to use this con as much of a springboard as possible. And that is when you'll be able to back the game. And we have a very modest goal. We try to keep it that way from a monetary stance. Mm-hmm. That way the game we can put out feasibly. We didn't want to have this giant, goal to where we'd have to have it just go perfect.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of a Little Orphan Annie scenario. But the way it's going to work is the lowest backing is going to be, or backer amount's going to be $15. The game we're going to price out at $25 regularly, so $24.99, gets you $10 off the game, and gets you a very first copy of the game. Some of the other details at higher backer levels we're still kind of hashing out, but some of the things we definitely want to do is have a set of cards that you get as a backer that are going to be written on them that you are a backer. These are backer cards.
Nice.
And then we'll just never do them again.
So they could be like special signature, like on the back and say, hey, they're fighting, and then have like maybe the person backer's name or something.
Well, maybe we could put it. We were thinking of putting like Kickstarter 2017. Mm-hmm. On the card.
Oh, okay.
And if you back us at a certain level, we'll actually put your name on the back of our rules that go into the game. We're going to have a special section, special thank you.
That's cool.
And we'll print people's name on it.
And that's something we're committed to.
Yeah, a lot of places have been doing stuff like that. Like in the new Friday the 13th, a lot of the backers for that, their names are on the tombstones and stuff. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Like just
I didn't even
out.
Know that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even get that for back in the Ghostbusters game, and I paid out the ass for that thing.
Right? Yeah, you did.
Another thing that we're looking at, too, is doubling the base backer level. So for $30, you get a copy of the game, but it's a custom box.
Oh, nice.
We are going to take liberty and do whatever we want to the box that you get, but you'll be the only person that has that box, whether we write insults all over it or throw a bunch of stickers on it.
I will put loads of dongs on your box. It's going to happen.
I think I may have to get the $30 dong box.
You are going
to
get so many dongs on your box.
They're butter dongs.
Yeah, butter dongs. Butter dongs on your hot box.
Yeah, it's a pretty, like he said, it was a really modest goal. We're only looking for $2,500.
It's not bad at all.
No. At that price point, we can get a very nice, high-quality card with a very nice finish, make the cards waterproof, so if you are playing it at a party, you don't have to worry. And we do, like, we really do want that nice custom box without the wire handle so that it fits just right nice on your shelf there. So, right. Yeah.
That's very reasonable, $2,500.
That's all we really
need.
It's
not bad at all.
No, most people's hospital bills are more than that.
Right? We've done a lot of the background work ourselves, and so I think that's where we're kind of in a good position to make that happen. We don't have to have this astronomical amount because a lot of it's done.
Right.
And really, that's just our way of being able to keep the price point where it makes sense. And so, but yeah, we did the math, and we just honestly can't wait to launch it. Everything's really ready. Yeah. We're just sort of like, let's get the money trigger and pull it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We just had so much fun playing other people's games, and we just want to be able to share our passion with everybody else that also enjoys playing games.
Oh, yeah.
And just want to have fun with friends, so...
Well, and since this is your first con, and we've only had the one day, would you say yesterday went pretty well for you guys?
As well as it could. It seemed like we got a bit of a slow start.
Yeah, it was a little slow.
I think this whole thing was a slow start.
But so. I'm also not going to lie to you. We were completely unprepared. never being at a con before. I walked over here where all the developers' tables are and people that are showing off their games, and we did not have anywhere near what we had. On the one hand, that was kind of a letdown for me personally. But then on the other hand, too, it kind of really kind of fits into the overall theme of our game. It's just very straightforward. It is what it is. It doesn't make any excuses for itself.
And Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, right. We have learned a lot of really awesome tips from a lot of people that are here, and we've already implemented a lot of those here on the third day here. So.
Good.
And our table looks better. We had a bit of a pretty woman montage. And now we're a lot better looking.
I had to
now.
Wait to get that box slapped.
Right, I know.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So now, yeah, we're a lot more attractive today.
Do you have any more things lined up after this, or
yes.
What do you got going on after this?
Nude calendars. No. what we have going on next is you should explain it. You're kind of the.
So we already have 8 to 10 planned expansions that are already fleshed out. Mm-hmm. We already know what cards are going to be in them. We have like a disease expansion, for example, that is going to add alcoholism, diabetes, anorexia and bulimia, celiac, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that will add another layer to the game. There will be doctor's visits cards, and you might end up with a disease. You might end up with a clean bill of health. It depends on how you roll the dice.
Nice.
We're going to do a lot of themed food expansions that will just strictly add food to the game to increase the variety. Every food item that is in the game is unique. There are no repeated foods.
I can only have one steak.
Yeah. but if you end up pooping it out, you know,
and going
somebody
through the draw
else.
Pile.
No, I want to die like a man, like John Wayne with 9 pounds of undigested meat, Michael.
Nice. Like, for instance, there's a card that we're going to release called Dumpster Diving, where you go through the discard pile and you find food that people have pooped out, eat it, and put it in your consume pile. That's not in the game right now, but that will be in an expansion.
Nice.
But an Italy expansion where it'll just be a lot of pastas and pizzas and Spanish.
Cool. There's a lot of different
Mexican
ways you can go with this.
Yeah. Plus, then you're actually teaching people about where these foods come from. Again, it's like, some people think that a food came from one place just because it's that, but it's like, oh, nope, they just started making those here one day.
Right? Taco
Definitely.
Bell invented tacos.
And, yeah. You know, eventually one of our goals is to be able to get to a point with this project and this passion of ours to be able to give back to food shelters across America.
Nice.
And, you know, the situation with kids and their school lunches and being shamed for not being able to pay their lunch bill and not being able to eat, we want to be able to put up a lot of money for a lot of these causes. Mm. I was on the board of directors. I'm taking a hiatus from the Colorado Corral. We've selected Metro Caring. It's a really well-known food shelter downtown Denver. Mm-hmm. people like that, places like that, they could really use all the help they can get. Yeah. So that is definitely very much a real goal of ours, to be able to be at a point where we can do that.
Fantastic.
I kind of digressed there for a minute, but back to your original question about what else is down the
no
pipeline.
Worries.
Beyond expansions, we already have had initial talks about what our next standalone project is going to be.
More card-based or board?
It's straight up going to be card games. That's kind of like, I feel like we have a really good handle on that, where he's a lot of really concrete numbers and, you know, sales.
I'm a money grubber.
I'm very much a creative.
He's the money guy. You're the idea guy.
Yeah, very much always spinning ideas, always saying, we got to do this, we got to do that. And he kind of keeps me grounded. And then I can kind of keep him grounded, and I feel like we have a really nice mesh of personalities to really make this thing work.
Hell yeah.
So, but the other thing that we're kind of working on, we've only briefly talked about it, but we're spinning around an idea for a game based on Road Rage.
Rage Road.
And we're going to call it Rage Road.
That sounds interesting.
And the whole premise of the game is that
you don't blow your top.
Right? You're trying to get to Peaceville, but you have to drive on Rage Road to get there. And so the whole point of the game is everybody plays their cards on themselves. There's no playing cards on other people. Huh. It's all you, but you don't know what you're going to get. You draw five cards, you play them face down in front of you, and then five times around the table, everybody turns one
randomly.
Card up, and something happens while you're on Rage Road, and there's a point total.
Wasn't paying attention while on the phone. Wasn't
your wife tells you to calm down.
And then, so once everybody has turned up all five of their cards, everybody totals up their points. Anybody that is over 10 points rages, and they have to draw from the road rage pile. And that's where you can die and get into an accident. So the goal really would be A, to get to Peaceville alive, and then B, the winner is whoever is the least raged.
Yeah,
if you will, based on your points.
That sounds really cool.
Right, but are there going to be like certain cards like cut off by Asian driver?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and we're thinking of like car accidents. We're thinking, you know, you can, before you can keep driving, you know, you got to get another car. Like there's still a lot of very much open-ended at this point, I guess.
Yeah,
nice.
But,
I like that idea. Maybe there's a way to teach people to not get so heated in the middle
right.
of things.
Well,
or find the humor in it.
I have really bad road rage, which is kind of like, I guess you like what you know
that.
Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
With our game, first game is food. I'm a little heavier set myself.
I'm following.
And I have really bad road rage, so it's something that popped into my head one day, like, I wonder if
not?
I could use that little quirk about me and make that into a game.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, it's something a ton of people can relate with, and it's a good thing to have fun with. So
yeah,
I think it's a good
rage.
Idea.
And one thing we definitely have decided we want to keep constant is our just overall black and white theme. We never want to stray from that. Every game we plan on introducing is going to be just straight monochromatic black and white. It may not always be linear like line drawings, but we plan on keeping everything monochromatic. Let's just keep it a kind of quirky shtick.
Yeah, simple. Mm. I mean, that's I think one of the best reasons why games like Cards Against Humanity works out, because there's nothing to it. It's just cards with funny shit written on them.
Right.
And you just be like, well, what's the best with this goes with this, and the other cards are just so and so blank and so and so.
Right.
And still, you just gotta Mad Lib the shit out of it.
Right. So yeah. I
simplistic games are where it's at, and I mean if people can understand
a game that you can just jump into with anyone. You don't have to take forever to explain the rules, things like that.
In the early stages when we were just kicking the game off too, we kind of had this discussion where, you know, board games for me growing up with Scrabble and Monopoly and Sorry,
those are
just basic kind of really easy to understand, easy to play games. I'm looking at some board games now. Like we bought Arkham Horror, which is, it has like a 36-page rule book.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And it's
nuts.
It took us a day just to kind of figure out how to play the game. And then after we'd been playing it for like 2 weeks, we realized we weren't playing it right. And then we actually finally succeeded in actually beating the game, if you will, per se.
The Ghostbusters game was similar to that.
Yeah,
I saw that on the shelf at a store at the mall, and I was like, I really want to buy this game.
Super complicated.
Games are getting way into their own kind of stratosphere with $70, $80 price points. And
a lot of those things out there, I just look at them and I'm intimidated. It's like, I don't think I could play that.
Right. It looks like it should be a novel.
Gonna need to take 8 hours of just right? learning it. Yeah.
So we're kind of thinking, we're like, you know, why go with the status quo? Why do what everybody else is doing? Let's just be us and let's just take it old school, I guess,
but
for lack of a better thing
to
say.
To paint.
Right? Yeah. Well, and the thing is, and those games are fun, but we just
definitely,
have to be,
definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not like trying to knock
no,
those
no,
games
yeah,
by
yeah.
any sense,
but and I mean, they are fun, but you definitely have to be that type of gamer. And that's where, you know, we are, we enjoy them, but we definitely, I mean, my wife, no. Not even, you know what I mean? Our game couldn't be more straightforward. And she's like, I just can't. But the thing is like, but, you know, we just wanted a game that, you know, anyone could pick up and you're just going to laugh and that's it. And honestly, that's what we find the most is people are just laughing about the stuff they're eating. They're like, apparently quinoa and ice cream, you know what I mean? But
you're pregnant.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, they're fatty and chill. No. We just, but yeah, we like I said, we just wanted something very straightforward that anyone could pick up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like kind of idea. A pleasant surprise, too, is that with the food, a good friend of ours did the art. Mm-hmm. She lives in Centennial.
Nice.
And we're trying to keep it as much local stateside as we possibly can, you know. And I guess I don't know where I was going with that point.
Yeah.
But
support small business. But no, yeah, we just wanted it to be local and have everything done around here and just kind of keep it strictly Colorado as much as we could.
Because I saw that 303 number on the side of the box. Is that going to be the number?
No, so that's okay. A fake number.
It will be a 303 number, but we don't know what the other 7 digits are going to be yet. But it is going to be 303.
So I think, because like I was saying yesterday, you will have a problem with the 555.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that
is
definitely
a very
not going to be real
exclusive number.
Oh, I remember where I was going with that point. What was kind of cool is people will take the food that's on their plate and they'll kind of start grouping it up and they'll start making comments about how it actually looks like a good meal. And that was something that was just like completely not even something that I had really even considered
right?
as
we,
a thing.
We want to play it with Gordon Ramsay and inspire his next Michelin star.
Right?
That would be fantastic.
But, you know, people are
get
like,
a bunch of chefs to play.
It's funny how you put
this
something
still
out
looks
there.
Better than the crap they make in my kitchen.
Right? It's funny how you put something out there and you just something completely...
Yeah, the way other people take it, and they take it a whole different direction than you expected.
But it also enhances the game, and then and then before you know it, people are laughing, and then somebody gets a bowel movement, and you start hearing comments like, "Oh man, I really needed that bowel movement." And it's like, you know, if you're walking by us, and you definitely hear some stuff at the wrong, out of context, you're like, "What the hell is going on over there?"
Right.
So,
and you know, at some point in some time. Somebody's going to play that game, draw that card, and then actually probably have to take a shit in real life, too. Gotta go.
Yeah, I'm going to go play this on the toilet.
Yeah.
IRL. Yeah.
There's definitely a disclaimer with the game that we do not recommend eating a stick of butter.
No. You will probably have a bad day.
We put that in the rules specifically because you hear some horror stories about, like, that guy that sued McDonald's because his coffee was hot and it didn't say so. And we started thinking, you know, there's going to be some guy out there that goes, oh, there's only 1,000 calories in a stick of butter? Well, I'm going to eat that.
Right? That's half my diet today.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, we don't recommend it, but...
Don't follow our game, you dummy.
The calorie counts on the cards are in by no way, shape, or form indicative of real calorie counts in food.
They're meant to make our mechanics
strictly
balanced.
Whole right. numbers. Like, there is some math involved, obviously. You know, everybody has a phone these days with a calculator on it. If you don't, we even put in the rules... Go find
Grab
some
one.
Ancient pen and paper to keep track.
Right.
And we are looking to have a... an app, a counter app.
Nice, that'd be pretty
it's
cool.
It's like a calculator app kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So,
do the math for those of us that aren't so good at it.
Right.
Right.
Put little QR codes on each card. Scan it. Right.
Oh, that's so smart. But then there has to be the whole website. And again, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I'd have a million computer guys on it at once. Oh, what the hell?
Oh, he's a food chemist.
Right. Why does he keep scanning the same card?
Yeah, and I don't think we touched on it, but what's nice about the cards, too, is they're offensive, defensive at all times. You can play them against anyone, or you can play them on yourself, and like you kind of touched on the bowel movement. You may very well need to roll a 6 on a bowel movement and only get a 1, and your day's ruined. You know what I mean? And so,
it's
yeah,
all random.
It's all depending on whatever position you're in, you know? And it's very easy to become a target. Very easy to become a target.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, so people could make you eat. People could throw shit on your plate.
Right, or
you
can just damn it up and you get nothing.
We put a card in the game that is very much a screw you kind of card where you can force one person to reveal what their current calorie count is to the entire group. So obviously the point is to be the closest to 2,000.
Without letting
and
everybody.
And let's say you're playing a game and you're playing 7 eat cards and there's 6 on the table. You leave them off to the side so you don't lose count of where you're at. So you're on 6 and somebody forces somebody to reveal their count and they're at 2,100 calories. Well, guess what? That person's more than likely going to wind up in a food coma because every single person is going to make them eat junk food.
Right. So you're the only person that can see your cards, though.
Yes, you don't have.
You can leave your consumed cards face up if you want to, but we recommend not to.
Right.
And everyone usually shows each other your cards because just because you see that, for instance, oh, they have beef jerky, it's 100 calories. Right. You're not going to be able to remember between what you got going on and they got going on what their total is. And so, yeah, you definitely want to keep that a secret. And so, yeah, and that card is called the all-seeing brown eye.
Yeah, and then the brown note.
Right?
That is fantastic.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
All right. Seems like a very exciting game.
Yeah, I cannot wait to give it a try. And you guys actually have a copy here for people to play around with and stuff.
Definitely.
I think we'll definitely have to stop by and give that a try.
Absolutely. For
sure. And then you guys said the Kickstarter is coming hopefully within the next couple weeks.
Yep.
We'll definitely keep an eye out for that so we can keep people updated.
Yep. Oh, and also at our, what is it, the dealer's table? We have a wheel that you can spin.
I want a free high five.
Yes, that's how I got my fortune cookie yesterday.
And that is a way to get a free copy of the game. So as soon as the Kickstarter goes, oh, we did it, we got it, we can roll, you will be getting a free copy of the game, backer or not.
That's cool.
And then I believe, I don't know if it's still something or not, but I saw on your Twitter there was a link that you could click to try and
win a
game. Oh, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, yep. We are running a contest right now. You put your email in just so that we can send you notifications when we have expansions out and when the Kickstarter launches.
That's what I signed up for yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is actually, that was just strictly for the convention.
Oh, okay.
We also have a thing on our Facebook page.
And our Twitter
where you put your
we'll
email in.
That out
you
later.
Get, awesome, thanks.
You get emailed a link, and then you click on it, and then you share it, and anybody that signs up using your link, you get a point. And whoever ends up with the most points and the most shares we'll get a free game as well.
Well, and we said we'd tweet that out in a bit, but what is the links again?
Well, they're probably just on Twitter.
Yeah, so it's I think it's Real Hey There Fatty at Twitter. And then there's Facebook, and it's just Hey There Fatty.
Okay. Yep. See, some people would just rather rewind than have to Google shit.
Well, we wanted just Hey There Fatty on Twitter, but somebody else already had it.
Yeah, so
I couldn't believe it.
Probably some anorexic bastard.
Right? Yeah, just being ironic, some hipster dong. Yeah. Give it up, Richard.
And then we have an Instagram, too, but my wife is running that. I'm not exactly sure what the handle is. I haven't really gotten involved in a lot of the social media side of things yet, but it's something that we're very much looking forward to really getting into and having a much larger presence online.
Oh, so definitely. I think if you get a couple more, once you get a couple more conventions under your belt too, I think this. I think you guys are going to be selling.
Well, we just found out from a guy yesterday about this thing called IndieCon, which is just for indie games, and it's free. So it's we're like we're going
Colorado, November 18th, and then also we're going to be at the Microsoft store, Park Meadows Mall, next Thursday, debuting the game on their big screen.
Okay. Got like 120 awesome.
We'll definitely make sure to get this up before then.
Awesome, man.
For sure.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you guys too, man. This is
once
awesome.
Again, creators of Hey There Fatty, be sure to check it out. And, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.